Hey, this is Ali Ciardo, and today on the Photo Field Notes podcast, I'm going to walk you through a week in my life so you can see how I balance things, how I manage my clients, kind of what it all looks like in the world of Ali Ciardo.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Okay, I thought it might be fun to look at one week in my life just to show you how I balance, how I set boundaries, how I manage it all, how I manage my clients, how I manage my schedule, because one day in the life is never enough. Everything can change so much day to day, but on a weekly basis, I think that's kind of pulling back enough to get a general feel for how I manage everything. So the first thing I think that's important in my schedule that's obviously different from any other person, you know, depending on who you are. I only currently in the office, I only work on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And so the girls go to daycare on those days. It's like 6 minutes away. I literally haven't set an alarm in who knows how long. I set an alarm like maybe 3 times a year because the girls just kind of wake up and we all get up and we go and we try really hard to get them to daycare by 8:30 because they have breakfast at daycare. And if we don't make it there before breakfast, it's like a whole 45-minute ordeal of deciding what they want to eat and eating it. And then they argue and it's just too much. So we get the girls to daycare. So Jeff takes the girls to daycare in the morning. I pick them up in the evening. And then I have those 3 dedicated days a week to work. And then the other thing that's important on that is in terms of setting boundaries. So I'm home with them on Mondays and Thursdays, which obviously those are typical work days for most people. So I had to figure out a way to really communicate that to my clients that I'm off on those days so that I'm not sitting there feeling guilty. Because I found that for a long time, I felt guilty. I felt like I was stressed out and I wasn't being the best mom I could be on those days because I would feel like I had to check my emails. I felt like I had to respond right away. So I basically just put it everywhere. These are my office hours. This is when I'm there. I have a lot of automation set up. So when I get an initial inquiry, it says, you know, these are my office hours. This is when you'll hear from me. And I do try on Monday mornings, because a lot of inquiries will come in over the weekend, I'll try to just hop on really quick while Jeff is kind of like getting the girls ready, getting them breakfast. I'll try to just hop on and respond. It takes like 30 seconds within my system to just click the template, put in kind of a quick little custom note within that, and send that off. And I will sometimes I get text messages when I get an inquiry. So sometimes I will just pop on if it's easy and respond to that inquiry. But I don't want to do that if I'm in a place where it's going to distract from family time. So I'm trying to be more protective of family time. So Monday morning, I'll do that really quickly. And then it's totally focused on family. So I have my out of office on that says, you know, hey, great to hear from you. I'm out of the office. These are the days that I work, but I will get back to you as soon as I can when I'm in the office. So that way, when I see these emails coming in from clients, if my phone is buzzing, even if I'm getting texts from clients, I don't feel bad about it if I'm not responding. They can wait 24 hours and I'm very good about responding within the next day. So that's why I kind of stagger it. So I'm in the office Tuesdays, Wednesdays, what did I say before? Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Those are the days that I'm in. I may have said Thursday, I can't remember. So with that gap, it gives me kind of a time where I can catch up on everything on Friday, leading into the weekend. And then if I have a Friday wedding, I have them in childcare. And then also I can just like prep for Saturday. So I try in the evenings to only book 1 session per week. But right now I'm in kind of a busier time because I had a bunch of things that had to get rescheduled. So, you know, sometimes I will have a little bit more than that going on. But I'm pretty protective of my evenings. And as you can tell, I'm pretty protective of my family time and trying to set boundaries. So right now I use ScheduleOnce.com to have my clients schedule times for sessions and for meetings. So that way I'm not going back and forth saying to them, okay, here are the days that I'm available. Pick one of these. Oh, none of those work. I get to send them my calendar and I block off Wednesday nights because Jeff typically does sailing races on Wednesdays, so I don't take anything on Wednesdays. But if they respond and they're like, oh, nothing really works, I can say, okay, I can probably make a Wednesday work. You know, let's do that. I've toyed with the idea of setting up 2 different calendars. It's $5 per month to use Schedule Once. So I've actually toyed with the idea of just setting up two separate calendars, because within Schedule Once, you can, it will sync to your calendar and see what's booked. So that will show as booked. It won't let your client book that time. But I kind of have a different calendar for scheduling sessions versus scheduling meetings. So for sessions, because it's based around the sunlight, you know, they might have to start a little bit earlier than I would want a meeting to start, let's say in the evening. So I might take a session starting at like 7 or 6:30, depending on the time of year, but I don't really want to take a meeting during that time because if I can avoid it, I'd rather just be with family then. So what I'm thinking about doing is just spending the extra $5, which this is a no-brainer, I need to do this today, and having one calendar that is purely for this. This is when I offer meeting times for clients and trying to kind of batch those together. And when I had a studio last year, I always found that that was really valuable. I would only do in-person meetings on Thursdays. So only offering meetings, whether it's in-person or on the phone at specific times, maybe one night a week I offer them, you know, even then, just as long as it's not between 5 and like 8 o'clock for meetings. So I don't mind taking an 8 o'clock meeting, and most of my clients don't mind either. But I really do try to avoid taking meetings during that time if I can. And generally people are very good about it. And of course, once you set your rules, you can break them if you have to, if there's some kind of situation where absolutely nothing will work. But if you can set that precedent from the beginning, I generally find that people are very okay with that. And I've even said, hey, this is just time that I dedicate to my family. And, you know, so I try not to take meetings during this time. And they're like, oh, that completely makes sense. I absolutely respect that. So anyway, that's my rambling way of saying, you know, that's how I set boundaries. I really do think that this week I'm going to set up two calendars, one for booking sessions. So when I say, okay, this is my availability calendar, check out when I can offer sessions, and then just go ahead and book it for yourself. And then the other will be for meetings, because those are a little bit different just based on one has to go around the light. Okay. So this is what the actual day. So let's say I'm in the office. So like it's a Tuesday, and I'm in the office. The first thing that I like to do is write out my to-do list. And as things are coming in, or as I'm thinking of things, or even if I get a text from a client, what I'll do is I'll often go into my Google Calendar and at 9 a.m. I'll write in the list of things that I need to do. But when I actually start my day, I have my little notebook and my pen and I write everything out. Here's a brain dump. Here's everything that I could possibly want to get done and everything that I have to get done today. And once I write everything out, then I just prioritize. Okay, here's number 1, 2, 3. And I like to try to accomplish the smaller tasks first that I can get done quickly so that I can cross them off. It's kind of that feeling. It's like the Dave Ramsey snowball. Like you feel like you're getting things done if you can be crossing. So if they're tiny little emails or, you know, emails or quick to-dos, I like to just get those done, cross them off. So then when I look at my list an hour into the day, I'm like, oh, I've done so much. I've accomplished so much. And I feel so much better. So things that I would do in the morning would be things like prepping wedding notes for couples, sending out contracts, just responding to emails, responding to schedules, anything like that. And I know some people say, and this is obviously completely based on your own, how you work and when you work the best. I know some people say, don't respond to email first thing, or work on your hardest thing first because your brain is the freshest and you can really tackle it first thing. But for me, I find that I like that warm up. I make myself a cup of coffee. I sit down, I respond to emails. I feel so good. I'm crossing things off. And so that gets me warmed up. And then when my coffee's gone, I'm done crossing like a bunch of items off the list. Then I feel so much more ready to focus on those bigger, more creative projects. So that's things like designing an album and editing and prepping a client for the reveal session and things like that. So for me, I do think that getting it done in the morning just tends to work better and put me in a better mode. So figure out what works for you, of course, but I love just being able to cross things off. I think I get a little bit of anxiety if I'm working on one item for half the day, even if it's great, you know, to be focusing your energy on that one item first thing. If I'm staring at a to-do list with all of these items, I just can't, I feel anxiety. So I like to be able to just cross it right off. So just looking at a random day from my calendar last week, here's what I did in the morning. I ordered 2 albums, which that feels really good. Cross it off. I sent out a contract digitally. Cross that off. I mailed out a client guide, which literally just means it's a style guide that shows them ideas for, A, it helps them prep for their session. And then it also shows them ideas for what they can do with their photos on their walls and gets them in the right mindset, gets them excited about putting prints on their walls. So I already have those printed in bulk. So all I have to do, it's a literal printed style guide. All I have to do is literally throw on a 2-ounce stamp. I just write out their address on it and stick it on the little sticker and I pop it in the mailbox. So that's easy. Cross that off. I started setting up a client for their engagement session reveal. And I'll tell you really quickly what that looks like. So engagement session reveal, or really any session reveal, whether it's family session, engagement session, wedding, anything that I do, I used to just have people, basically I would finish the session and I would just email it out and I would say, your session's done. This, here it is. And now what I do is I tell them, so at the end of their session, I say, okay, go ahead right now and, or when you get home, look at your calendars and pick any date that's 2 weeks out where you can be together to see your photos for the first time. Or if it's their wedding, I'll say, when my photos are actually basically done, I'll say, your photos will be done in about a week or your photos will be done by this date. Pick any day and time when you can sit down together to see your photos and I will send you everything then. And it's just been so great because they pick that time and they don't care if they have to wait longer, they will do it. I send them a slideshow so that they can see their photos together and then they have their ordering session that night. So everything is virtual. I'm not there anymore and that's a whole other conversation. I can't remember if I talked about it in a past episode. If you look at the one with Chris Scott, that's probably the closest to getting into that. But I've had a lot of requests for that one. So I'm going to get more into that, the whole online ordering session and how I transitioned from in-person sales to online ordering and what that looks like and how I get people excited about products outside of in-person sales. So a lot of times I will kind of get the pieces ready throughout the week, and then I'll pull it all together to send out the email on the date that they've picked. So if I have spare time, if I'm up to date on my editing and my design and everything, I might put together a blog post or I'll catch up on bookkeeping. But if you go back to my old podcast, Prepping for a Busy Photography Season, I actually planned out months of blog posts and Instagram posts during my downtime when I wasn't so busy. So I have a post that goes out every single Tuesday, and then my podcasts, of course, go out every Wednesday. So since I prepped those long in advance during the slow time, now basically every Tuesday, the blog post is just published automatically. And then I get a little alert on my phone from Planoly that says, you know, swipe this over and you can post this picture from the blog post. So I kind of coordinated those together. And so in terms of editing, like I said, I typically do that in the afternoon. I'll just put on like a nice podcast or an audiobook and edit. And I did set a budget this year to outsource at least some of my editing. I think I set a budget of like $2,000 planning to outsource. And I actually found that when I purchased, well, I didn't purchase it. Jeff got it for me for my birthday. When I got Palette gear, which I've also talked about in my, I think it was my efficiency episode, it just made me edit so much faster, and I'm not paid by Palette to say this, and I actually have a future episode coming out too with Andy from Palette about editing workflow. It just made me edit so much faster. So I've been able to stay up on my own editing and my associate editing and get like within, I don't know, a week and a half, I have these weddings ready to go with all the sessions and everything. So I actually have not gotten to a point where I felt the need to outsource. And so I just haven't done that yet. And I think that, you know, do what works for you, but it's kind of nice that I haven't had to. And then the same goes for album design. That's one thing that I've considered outsourcing, but I use Album Stomp for my editing. And whenever I sit down to do it, I feel like it takes me maybe 30 minutes. So it's so fast that I haven't really, even with only 3 days a week of working and putting the podcast together and everything else, I've been able to keep up on it. So it hasn't been a big stressor for me. I actually enjoy doing those things. I really like editing. I think it's just relaxing and it's time after a crazy day with my 1-year-old and my 3-year-old. It's just really nice to sit down and edit and just relax. I find it to be very like calming for me. So if you hate editing, totally outsource it. But I like editing. And so as you know, I outsource shooting because I have an associate team. So I do outsource, but I choose to outsource the shooting so I can have more time in the evenings and the weekends, that time that I find really valuable for me. And then editing, which I can do during the day, during the work week while Jeff's working too, you know, I enjoy it. And then this last weekend, just kind of looking at the week in the life, I actually did not have a wedding. I took 4 weekends off to go sailing with the family, which is really fun. But I had a weekend, or I had a wedding the weekend before, so I'll kind of go through what that looked like. On the morning of a wedding, I wake up, I have family time, you know, coffee, hang out. I try to prep all my gear the day before. So Friday when I'm in the office, which I work from home, so the office is my basement or wherever I want to work that day, I prep my gear, I charge everything, I get my memory cards ready, I sync my cameras, I print my notes, so that's ready to go. So I don't have to stress about it when the girls are there. And then that morning I can just kind of hang out, I can make sure that everything's there, maybe double check it, put in the car and go. And then I try to get to my, so sessions, I try to get there only like, you know, 10 minutes early. Weddings, I try to get there 20 to 30 minutes early so that I can really relax, take my time, hang out, chat, just have some time to talk to them without feeling so rushed. So wedding day happens. And then when I get home, I back up the photos, put them on my computer so they can back up to, what's it called? Backblaze. And then I put the memory card in a safe until, and I keep it in this fireproof safe until the wedding, until that entire wedding or session is online and basically ready to be delivered. So I just keep it there as one extra precaution. And then on weddings, the morning after the wedding, Jeff usually lets me sleep in, so which is great. So I have an email that's automatically scheduled to go out at 9 a.m. that just says, thank you, and your photos will be ready to preview this week. You'll see the photos online on Facebook or Instagram. Go ahead and follow there. And I know that it's going out at 9 a.m. So if I get home and I know that I need to change any of the language in that email, I can, but I rarely have to. So usually it's good to go. It's basic, it's generic enough, but it sounds personal. It sounds very friendly. So beyond that, I record my podcast in advance. So I have interviews scheduled kind of throughout each month. And then I have a kind of a schedule of when I want podcasts to go out. And I usually just kind of listen to my podcast and do any editing that I need to do, kind of putting together the intro and everything on Tuesdays as I'm typically editing a wedding. So that's another reason I don't mind editing, because I can kind of multitask. I can edit the podcast, put together the show notes, and edit my photos all at the same time, just because they use kind of different parts of my brain. And I prep that to go up on Wednesday. So podcast goes out every Wednesday. So I know that this episode is kind of a lot of stream of consciousness, just kind of going through the things that I do. But I think that I've definitely come a long way. It's especially in setting boundaries over the years, because I used to let my clients control when I would meet with them, where I would meet with them, everything. And I did find that if you set, let's say you want to set one day, hey, I only meet clients on Thursdays, most of them are going to be okay with that. And if it doesn't work for someone, they'll let you know and you can always bend and meet a different day. But in general, it makes life a lot easier. And if you tell clients, hey, I only meet at this one place, then you're not going to have to drive an hour to meet them halfway, because you've set that boundary for them. You've said, hey, I have in-person meetings here. Even if it's just a coffee shop, I have in-person meetings at this coffee shop. Let's plan to meet. If you want to meet in person, you can pop it on my calendar. Here's the link. You schedule once, good to go. So those things have really helped me to keep my sanity, to stay on top of things, and just really find a lot of happiness in my life this year. It's been a good year. So I hope it's helpful for you, and I will see you back here on the podcast next Wednesday. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.